This morning's gospel is from Matthew in the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If you are listened to, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that your every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If that person refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So how did I come to be here? Well, somebody asked me and I said yes. Boy, that can really lead into some paths that you don't necessarily expect. When I retired, I had decided that I should follow something that I had been telling myself for a very long time, that I should learn and study more about Christ and the Bible and the communion of saints and all of the things that I had been living for a very long time. I attended what was then called Lay School for Mission. Since I didn't have a good sense of what my mission was, I thought that was a good place to start, and it was. Even you can follow some of that along. It's now called lifelong learning, and the fall schedule is on the visitor's table out there. You can decide on what kind of course you might be taking. Well, I didn't get many answers, or as many answers as I thought I might, but I sure got to ask better questions. So here I am. It's not the first time that I've led worship, but it is the first time here. Back in June, as usual, I started to check what the text for the day was, and I was delighted to find that it was the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 5. It was the beginning of a new focus for the ELCA, lifting up the creation of the world. Creation Sunday, one Sunday a month, or a focus of the month, on the creating grace that God had presented to us. September 1st, since the 7th century, has symbolized the day of creation of the world in the Byzantine tradition. This also was a parallel of Rosh Hashanah, the marking of the Jewish New Year. And I'm thinking, how exciting. It might not be the actual date of creation, but it's a good day to remember it. So the readings were either 1 Genesis chapter 1 or Genesis chapter 2. Well, and there in Gospel of John 1 to 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I'm sure you know most of the rest of that because it's something very familiar. The gospel abounds with wonder. The possibility to expand or lose our way are great. We have all of creation, redemption, the coming of Christ, the Christmas story, five sentences long. Okay. You can talk about the grains of sand, that ice floats instead of sinks. Bees can fly. You can even wonder what the word word and the word light. Oh, wait a minute. That is not the gospel text that was assigned today, because we are in transition right now, and our council decided that we ought to take better looks at some of ourselves. So although I was very excited about that one, probably if I had read the text ahead of time, I wouldn't be talking about this one. However, here I am. We have problems. We're looking at ways, and one way may help. This text outlines a path to resolution of conflict within our faith community. A path that is so often true has about a 50-50% chance of success. You know, a 50-50 chance of success is a very Lutheran thing. Luther talked about your equal chance of doing good or evil in any action that you take. But he also said, if you take no action whatsoever, you have no chance of the success. So we proceed with hope and prayer. Here's the plan set forth in the actual gospel reading for today. Step one, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If you are listened to, you have regained that one. Now, some of the gospel readings, because I try to read several different translations, leave out the against you. So it's just, if your brother or sister sins, go to them privately and talk about it. This meeting, in my mind, isn't a text or a phone call or a letter. It's face to face, quietly. I'm not saying confrontation is easy. I certainly avoid it whenever I can. And this route to resolution isn't meant for things that really sort of annoy you or bother you and make you uncomfortable. This is for things that you look at and think of as extreme, sinful. I don't know what they would be. I'm trying, because I usually try to look past faults. Did they take the money from the offering? I don't know what to say. So but we've found something and we're going to talk quietly about it with someone. How does this act that the person did affect the community? Quietly proceed. So, if nothing is done, if you don't proceed after you've thought of this thing, what is the alternative? Well, you can keep quiet and stew about it. You can grumble. Every time you see the person, you relive the injury and you think, oh, no. You change your church. You go to someplace else. You avoid the people altogether. After all, they're hypocrites. Why should I be there? Forgetting that all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God, that we all need the saving. And some people fall into the don't get mad, get even fault. So there are possibilities. Those are quiet ones. But there's another one that many of us fall into. You tell everybody else, do you know what they did to me? And then the whole congregation gets to a roil and sides are taken. I had a friend tell me that he keeps his cat indoors so he avoids nuclear destruction. I thought, okay. He said, yeah, my cat goes out and he digs up your garden and does what cats do in the dirt. And now my garden, my neighbor and I are, and then it goes and it goes and it goes until finally the only thing we have sides between here and Ishpeming, we have sides within the world, and the only thing left is bomb them out. So, keep your cat inside, I guess. It just was the extremes that things can go to. Well, you went, you talked to the person, you didn't have resolution. So now you weren't listened to, but you still feel you have cause. Gather together one or two others so that there may be witnesses. This reference in Matthew is going back to some of the directions in the Old Testament for resolving things. And of course, Matthew always tried to bring in the followers of Abraham, all of that promise from the Old Testament. So he wound his things very closely together. If you remember what we just heard about in Ezekiel, it was very clear, go tell them what's wrong. They'll either believe you and change or they won't. But you will have done what you needed to do. So you have now gathered two or three together. The commentators are very clear on this. They shouldn't be your good buddy. They should be a kind of neutral party, because the other people who are going with you should also be able to look at you and say, are you sure? What is it that you saw? Where do we go from here? They can evaluate your complaint, as you may have little or no cause to interpret the action as sin. So after you've decided this, you've gone. I can see a lot of possible problems. First of all, we're cautioned about judging. We're cautioned about taking offense. We're cautioned about giving offense. But here we are, trying as kindly as we can to reach a conclusion. to solve the problem. The group of three agree there's cause to continue. Step three, the person did not listen to the group. If that person refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, not necessarily the whole church. And let the one, if they don't listen, be as a Gentile or tax collector. This particular passage has been used as a cudgel in many times. Bring the person before, declare them terrible, kick them out from your church. But in fact, that is not necessarily what it means. It says, see the fault, see if there's resolution, see if there's a way to this path. Maybe they need more time to think more on it. There is not necessarily the condemnation and the removal of that person. Gentile and tax collector may have not arrived at a sustaining faith, and they need to remain supported by the community to learn more and to become believers in Christ. The intention of the passage was to lead to healing. Acknowledgement, forgiveness, reconciliation, grace. Right after Jesus tells his disciples this way of resolving conflict, going further in Matthew, Peter asks, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who has sinned against me? As many as seven times? And the answer is no. You should do it 70 times seven, a number too large to imagine. So don't give up. Try again and again. See if you can come to solution. We're down now in the text to the part about binding. I was going to ignore it. After all, I've told you a lot about how to go about doing this resolution. What do I do about the binding and unbinding? Well, I kept reading because I always go down rabbit holes when I'm doing research on things like this. And it says that you can think of binding as lawful and unlawful. So truly I tell you, whatever you declare unlawful on earth shall be considered unlawful in heaven. It's what you declare lawful on earth will be lawful. I managed to repeat it. The comments conclude that this part tells the church that they have the right and duty to keep order. Sometimes we're not a club. We are a worshiping, working, believing group. So we need to have ways to keep order within the community. This path is one of the possibilities. We should still keep remembering, as Grant had said, the most basic of these is love. So one of the things that you didn't do, and you can go through and count how many times this text says, listen. So many times we do not do that. But the greatest of the laws is love. The very last part of this is one of the parts that I tell you that I can manage to believe in. There two or three are gathered in my name. I am there among them. We are not alone. As we are proceeding, whether we feel blind or we don't know what way we are going, we are not alone. So have faith. Present yourself before. Listen to the others. Try paths to reconciliation. Well, this brings me back to the beginning of the message. Why am I doing this? What authority do I have? Well, I'm a child of God, a sinner saved by grace. I was excited to share the story of the universe that was expressed by the first reading, but we need help to find ways to be loving believers. We need paths to forgiveness between us all and grace to go on. The grace is the thing that I always say is the reason I can stand before you. So, what is grace? I have a poem to share with you. It's by Denise Leverville. It's titled Grace. And some of you know that I do stuff in the water all the time, so this really felt to me a good way to express grace. As swimmers dare to lie to face the sky, and waters will bear them up. As hawks rest upon the air and the air sustains them, so I would learn to attain free fall and float into Creator Spirit's deep embrace, knowing that no effort earns that all-surrounding grace. Let us pray. Bring unity and peace to this church, to the church throughout the world, and to all creation. Be with us as we search for strength for the days to come. Bless us, forgive us, give us grace. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.